Hello, friends. I hope you had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. I know I did. I saw a bunch of you out at the Autism 5K race up in Innisbrook. Wonderful group of people. It's a wonderful event to raise money for the Autism Society of Central Virginia, and we had a lot of runners, possibly a record crowd. I don't know. I don't track that. It just looked huge. And the club was out there marshaling the race, and there were booze, and there were people in costume, and there was music, and it was a wonderful time. Just a Saturday morning of Memorial Day weekend with about 5,000 of your closest friends, all people coming around the cause of autism, raising money, trying to find a cure, trying to find answers. It was a wonderful time, and if you missed it, you missed something awesome. I hope you were doing something awesome as well, but if you find yourself next year and you don't know what to do, Saturday morning, Memorial Day weekend, show up to the Autism 5K in Innisbrook. It's just absolutely incredible. And I hope you had a restful weekend. We had pretty good weather. We had I had a great time, busy national meeting with the club, and all kinds of awesome things. A couple things coming up. First of all, this Wednesday, the 30th of May, a lot of folks from the Ridge are participating with Liberation Family Services, a halfway house downtown Richmond on Hull Street. Bringing food and supplies and helping feed that crowd there. Some really great people, all veterans, all looking to better themselves, take the next step, full of courage and life and energy, and we're helping out. If you want to be a part of that, contact me, chris@theridgeonline.cc, and I'll be happy to put you in touch with the right people. A lot of cool stuff coming up. We're going to be talking a lot of great things here over the course of this summer. We've got some great projects lined up at the Ridge, and some really great, thoughtful questions we're going to tackle on the next few episodes of this podcast. But for now, for this episode, this is the podcast of Chris Bell and the Ridge Faith Community. And I told you we were going to talk about the fact that everything is spiritual. What does that mean? If you skateboard, is skateboarding spiritual? If you cook, is cooking spiritual? Is origami spiritual? Martial arts spiritual? I know motorcycling is spiritual. We'll bypass that one. But whatever it may be, how is it all spiritual? If what is a struggle for some people, how can it be for other folks a spiritual activity? I love that question. Well, I want to start with the book of Luke. And in the book of Luke, chapter 18 specifically, starting about verse 35, tells a story of a beggar, and he's sitting by the side of the road, and Jesus comes through, and people say, "Hey, shut up, beggar," because you know you'd beg. He's a blind man, and he's begging for money because he can't work. He needs cash, and he's asking people for money, for alms, if you will, as they pass by. And the people who are around Jesus, his handlers, are walking up as they hear this man begging. "Hey, shut up. Don't you know this is somebody important's on their way?" And the blind man asks, "Who's coming?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth is coming." And he hollers out, "Jesus, son of David," which is kind of interesting because they talked about him with a geographical reference, and he replied with a title, with a character, with a political reference. He's working, trying to get alms, but it also may indicate some things that he thinks too, and this is interesting and grounds for a whole nother talk, but it's very interesting. And he's hollering out, and they try to get him to be quiet, and he says that he just keeps shouting. It says he shouts all the more for it, and I think it's interesting here, first of all, as we dive into this. If you're like me and have grown up around Christian things most of your life, and that's not a term I use very often, meaning Christian, but if you grew up around a Christian church, and here we have the people who scheduled Jesus, ran his ministry, paved the way, split the crowd for him, marshaled his stuff, and they're telling this guy to shut up. You want to talk about missing the point? You want to talk about being out of sync with the founder? You see this in corporations, Apple and other ones, where the founder kind of leaves the helm and the corporation takes a left turn off the freeway and the founder has to come back and reassert it and go. It happens all the time, and it happens here. You can be connected and wear Christ's name, if you will, and be connected in every way, in every title of Christianity, and be so far off point that you're 180 degrees away from what Jesus would do. And we see it right here in the story. They tell him, hey, shut up. And Jesus goes, no, no, what? And he asks him a question. What do you want? The question is actually, what do you want me to do? But my mom was an English teacher. I've been diagramming sentences since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. And so the question really comes down, what do you want for me to do for you? But what do you want? And it's funny because the guy doesn't say, give me $5. The guy says, well, heck, I'd love to see. Great. Your faith has made you well. You can see. And this is a verse that has really jacked some people up. It's been hijacked by all kinds of people. Like if you want to be healed and you haven't been healed, it's your fault because there's not enough faith. And that is so wrong and so opposite what's happening here. But that is definitely an entirely another talk, an entirely different episode. But Jesus says, your faith made you well. He doesn't say, ding, I just made you well. Here, have some power. You've just been made well by what's flowing through. He says, your faith has made you well. And where does this guy's faith come from? Inside of him. In other words, you already have what you need or what you want. You have it within you. Your healing, your next step is within your grasp already. And he heals the guy and he takes off and there's a story. But I think it's very interesting because Jesus asks him, what do you want? Jesus does not start indoctrinating him. Here's what you need to believe and here's what you need to do and here's how you need to think. And this isn't the only time. There's lots of stories in the New Testament. Zacchaeus who climbs a tree and the rich man who takes off and the story of two beggars and all kinds of different things. There's all these stories where Jesus talks about what do you want. See, if you are all like me, you grew up in a church, in a Christian environment that said desire was of this world. And this world was opposite of spiritual. This world was bleh, nasty, dirty. We have to endure this world. It's like a grime we have to walk through until we can get away. Whee! And fly away to heaven and be there. And we're not of this world, which is also ripped out of context. There was even a clothing store. I don't know if it still exists. There was a clothing store in Richmond called Not of This World. And Christian clothing, it was explained to me. Apparently clothing that goes to heaven when it's like used up or something. But anyway, Not of This World became a huge thing. And so it was dirty, and desire was always something to be fought, and desires were something to be pushed down and to be crammed away. And that is so not right. Desire, I've said this for years and years, desires, when plumbed to their depths, always point to God. Now you say, wait a minute, my desires get you in trouble. Well, some surface level or tertiary level desires that are deviations from the true desire, yeah, I'm sure they can get you in trouble. And I'm not talking about addictions, and I am not talking about the first wave desire that hits you. You know, if I ask you, what do you desire? I want a truck. Well, maybe you do want a truck, but I think there's probably something deeper you want more than just that truck. If your deepest desire can be solved with cash, you're probably not digging deep enough. I'm tired. I want to go on vacation. Well, that means you're probably tired and you need to take a nap, and that's okay. And you can have that, but that's not your deepest desire, more than likely. And our deepest desires, when plumbed, now here's what happens. See, when you record in a clubhouse, there are sirens going by. Grace and peace to whatever that is for. But when you plumb your desires to their deepest depths, they always point you back to God. One of the talks that I've given over the years that sticks with me, there's a few that just stay with me. And one of them was back in September of 2015. I gave a talk about a chocolate donut, that when we desire something, we can become stuck in the pattern and the trap of that desire and become convinced that if I have a chocolate donut, I will be happy. If I can only get that chocolate donut, we become fixated on the chocolate donut and we convince ourselves a chocolate donut will deliver me from my problems. The chocolate donut will make me happy. It's all about the chocolate donut, except it's just a chocolate donut. And the reality is the path to happiness is wide, and there's a lot of ways to make that happen. And grace and peace comes at you through many avenues. Joy comes at you from many patterns and solutions. And so we become fixated. And that kind of desire is not what I'm talking about either. I'm talking about, what do you want? What do you want? Understanding what we really want is one of the biggest callings we have as human beings. The desire behind our desires. When we figure out what we want, we stop putting our ladders up against walls that other people have directed us to. Well, you need to climb this wall, and this is what you want, because then you'll be happy. Okay, I'll climb this ladder. Wait a minute. I don't even know what this wall is. And they're making money off the way I climb the wall. Or I'm helping them get prestige by the way I climb their wall. But it's not what I want. I listen to somebody else tell me what they want me to want, and I go after that. And we become frustrated. Do you know people who are just frustrated all the time? Or they're complaining? Or they're always melancholy? They're always lackluster? They're self-medicating? Those things often happen because there's no connection in their lives between what they're doing and what they want. Sometimes we don't even know what we want, and that's sad in its own way. I don't mean sad as in pathetic. I mean sad as it makes you sad. It saddens you to not even know what you truly want. We should be curious all the time, chasing, praying for, asking for a vision of a deep desire. What is it that I want? Because when I figure out what I want, when I figure out what that desire is, I can start aligning the actions of my life to that deep desire. And I start to do with my life, whether vocation or avocation, on the clock or off the clock, and whatever it is, I start aligning my actions with the deep desires of my heart. And that produces feelings like waking up in the morning going, oh my gosh, I can't believe I get to do this. And feeling like this is what I was born to do. Listen, I had a national meeting with my motorcycle club over this last weekend. And Sunday night, I had just all of our folks gathered in this big room, and we're just all there, and the air conditioning couldn't keep up, so it's hot, and there's cigar smoke hanging everywhere. And I got all these bikers and you know, they're wearing leather vests, and it's uncomfortable. And I talked about what it means to be part of our thing, and what we're doing, and why we're doing it, and the importance of it all. And for 2 hours, we sat there enraptured with this concept of what this is. And when I got done, I could feel in every molecule of my being, this is what I was born to do. This is my desire. And there's no feeling like it. Now, I'm not saying I have the code cracked. I am not saying I have it figured out. But I've tasted it. And when you taste, you can't untaste. Woo! Am I right? I'm right. When you see it, you can't unsee it. And when you chase down the true desires that drive who you are, you will have the courage to abandon what they told you you ought to be doing and what he or she instructed you is, this is what you should want. You ever had people just should all over you? They just walk up and should all over you because they're trying to get you to fulfill their desires, manipulating you to do their thing. Forget that. Don't let people should on you. What you need to do is figure out for yourself. Now, I was raised in an environment that said, well, that's selfish. Anytime you're doing anything for you, that's ultimately selfish. How could you do that? Well, listen, hold on. Stop. If you as a human being have figured out your truest, deepest desires and you have aligned your actions to those desires so that everything is spiritual for you, get it? Get it? Coming full circle. That everything you do becomes spiritual because they are in line with the desires to fulfill the desires of your heart, which is lining you up with the wind of the God of this universe, with the flow that is flowing, and you're in the groove, and you are flowing, and you are becoming the best person you can be for this universe. How in the world can that be selfish when you are becoming the best human being you can possibly be for everybody around you? That is the best gift you can give this universe. It's the best gift you can give yourself. It's the best gift you can give to the people around you. It's not selfish. It's the ultimate expression of everything you are for the benefit of other people. Now, here's the key. When you know those desires, you know where to build your fences. And by fences, I mean boundaries, because boundaries flow from desire. See, when I know what I want, when people come up to you, you can say without any guilt, no, that's not my gig. I'm sure it's somebody's gig. It's just not my gig. In fact, you want to try something cool? When people come up and they start to just shoot all over you, just say, hey, stop. What do you want from me? And see if they'll tell you. See if they even know. They want something from you. Find out what that is. And if it's something you're willing to do, awesome. And if it's not, no, stop it. Save everybody some time. That's not what I'm in this for. See, we can't run someone else's race. We can't climb someone else's ladder. We can't walk someone else's path. And the trick, the tool, the training to figure out the path that I'm on, my journey, is what are my desires? Where is my heart, my deepest desires? Where is my heart pointing me to? And that is how everything we do becomes spiritual. What I eat, where I go for entertainment, what I purchase, every moment, every action, every relationship in the fulfillment of that deep desire of me becoming the best me I can be, to share with the people around me, to pour out love and grace and forgiveness and mercy and blessing on the people around me. That is the best gift I can give to the universe. And everything I do, when it's working right, then becomes spiritual activity. And you say, well, I'm chasing my desires and they keep getting me in trouble. Then you're not going deep enough. See, it's not that your desires are so powerful they can't be resisted. It's that they're too small. You haven't gone far enough. You haven't gone deep enough. You got to keep drilling, keep looking, keep hunting. You have escapist desires when you're really tired, when you're out of resources, and when you're depleted. Get past those. Take a nap. Take a break. Eat a good meal. Fill your body with good nutrition and rest. And then start to ask, start to feel, start to search. What is it that I want? Jesus asks, what do you want? What do you want? Until we figure out what we want, we can't find joy. Until we figure out what we want, we can't find peace. What we want connects us to ourselves and therefore to each other. What we want, when we find it, the deepest, truest meaning of that, connects us to the deepest and truest meanings of the universe, connects us to the spirit of the kingdom of God, connects us to all that is right, connects us to life, connects us to each other, because everything's connected. And when I tap in through my desire, my portal, my pathway to that big energy, that big source, that big God, and we all move there together, that is when it gets good. That's when it gets to be cooking and full of juice and full of life. And that's when you open the throttle way up and everything's running the way it's supposed to be running, and you feel it and you get the gift of every breath. Irony is, so many of us, when we are unhappy, push back against any kind of desire and shove it down and try to get smaller instead of bigger. And that's not what this is about. Look past the chocolate donut. There's a lot of pathways to joy. Dive deeper into your desire. Figure it out, what it is that you want, and then go after it. Well, I might fail. You haven't failed. You haven't failed. I'm going to go a little Rocky Balboa on you. You ready? Anybody ready for a little Rocky Balboa? I'm going to mess this quote up, but you're going to get the spirit of it. The idea is this. He's talking to somebody and he says, you're going to get hit hard in the ring, but nobody hits as hard as life. Everybody gets knocked down by life. The question is, are you going to get up again? Because as long as you keep getting up, the round's not over. You're not done. You haven't failed if you keep getting up and keep trying. What did they say? Edison tried like 1,000 different ways to invent the light bulb. So you've tried a step and it didn't work. Oh, I failed. No, you didn't. You're still trying. You just made a mistake and you educated yourself into one more way that you don't do whatever it is you're doing. And that's awesome. That's how we go. Yes, it can be discouraging. Eat some good food. Hang with some good people. Take a nap. Do something basic and primal and life-giving. And then try something else. Take another step. Go at it again. Take yourself less seriously and take the pursuit more seriously. I just told all my guys, everybody in my club, that good leaders are good followers, because they don't see themselves as the thing people are following. They see themselves as following a greater cause and just helping other people to follow in their wake. We're all in this together, and we're all headed toward goodness and faith and hope and mercy and justice. And we get there by diving into our deepest desires and flowing in that pursuit, that's what leads to the kingdom of God, and that's what leads to greater joy and love. And what we need is, instead of more and more people filled with regret and hate and frustration and angst, is we need people opening up and filled with love and life and grace and peace and mercy and justice and hope and joy. And we do that by figuring out, what do I want? What do I want, baby? And then go after it and figure it out and make your life about the pursuit of that thing that you really, truly do want. And nobody can stop you. And you have fun in the process. And sometimes you fall flat on your face. And ow. Yep, it hurts. And you got to get up and dust yourself off. And here we go again. But we're all doing it. So it's a group of people, a community. For some of us, it's about bikes. And for others, it's about song. And for others, it's about this other thing. And whatever it is, we're each taking our own path and our own pathway towards the source, the God of this universe, and the world gets better in the process. And I can't think of a single way to make the planet better faster than that. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, what do you want? What do you want? That's a question worth spending a little time with, don't you think? Grace and peace, everybody. And lots of desire.